This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. And boy, do we have a lot of sports to talk about today. We'll talk of Michigan State, Ohio State football coming up on Saturday. We'll also talk a little swimming today as well. And also, we're going to give away the tickets to the Michigan State, Ohio State football game later on today's edition of Sports Talk 870. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. And our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, let's take a look at, let's break down that Michigan State, Ohio State football game with the man, Jim Comperoni from Spartan Magazine, or from SpartanMag.com, whichever one you want to call. Either you read him online or you just get the magazine. And that's what I do. I get the magazine and read the magazine. So either way you like, give us a call. Talk with Jim Comperoni. Let's bring in our good friend, Jim Comperoni. Hey, Jim, how you doing? I guess you better call him again. I hit the wrong button. Oh, boy. That's what happens. Sometimes you hit the wrong button. And so we'll get Jim on and talk a little MSU or OSU football. Should be a very good game coming up Saturday between two teams. Both teams have had their share of problems, though. That's been a little bit unnerving to people that follow Michigan State and Ohio State. Both of them are, they're both good teams, but they have inner workings in both teams that make them maybe make people a little bit nervous about how both teams are and performing. Well, let's bring in Jim now. Hey, Jim, how you doing, buddy? Sorry about that.
That's okay. I'm doing good, man. Thanks for that introduction. That's cool. So, got football season. It's got a little cooler out. The leaves are changing. I like it. I'm feeling good about another football season really heating up. Really in earnest this weekend with Big Ten play starting.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, you and I, both Big Ten lovers, have loved Big Ten football for so long. And, you know, we got a game between two of the premier teams in the league. Ohio State's always been one. Michigan State is fast becoming one of the premier teams. But these teams have a few issues that you'd have to say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I like the flavor of Big Ten football. I know Big Ten is way down this year, and it's you know, I'm usually someone that defends the Big Ten, and I usually think the Big Ten is actually better than the reputation, but there's no defense this year. It's terrible, and it's the worst I've ever seen it. But at least up here, we play football in the proper weather.
Yes. Yes, we do.
I would not want to be going to a game in 95-degree heat for, you know, half the season. That's not the way it's done. You need a hot drink in your hand before a game out in the grass, you know.
Exactly.
And so we still have that. It's going to be that way this week. It's going to be a hard-hitting game. A couple of offenses that I'm not really sold on yet. Obviously, Michigan State has struggled with the dropped passes. I'm not all big on the Ohio State Urban Meyer spread just yet. You know, everybody thought he's going to come in and revolutionize the conference. No, I mean, he revolutionized a few things 10 years ago.
Yes.
Back when he had Mullen as his offensive coordinator, who's now doing a great job at Mississippi State. Ever since he lost Mullen, his Florida team was never the same. And I'm not impressed with their offense this year. You know, the quarterback, Miller, is good. He's electric. You know, sporadic as a passer, but excellent feet. But, you know, they're making the transition to the spread, and I don't know. I mean, you know, everybody thought that they were going to be, a lot of Ohio State fans and media were like, oh, yeah, we got Urban Meyer now. He's going to be better than Tressel.
Exactly.
I'm like, I don't know about that. And we'll see. I mean, they're 4-0. They were, I mean, I thought their defense was terrible against
California.
That's
what I was going to ask you about, that defense.
That I have never seen an Ohio State defense look as bad as they did against California. And I think that old-school Buckeye fans, if they're honest with themselves, would agree. I mean, I couldn't decide what was worse, the tackling angles, or the inability or disinterest in getting off blocks at the point of attack or from the backside. It was bad all over the place. They were better last week. They didn't blow out Alabama and Birmingham by any means, but they were better on defense. The tackling was a little better. When they do line you up, they can't hit because they do have talent. But the 11-man concept on defense is it's not Ohio State quality at this point, but I'll say this. They've improved. They improved from week three to week four. If they keep improving, you know, they could have a good, solid representative defense beginning this weekend. You know, teams are improving at this point in the season, and they needed to improve because they were not good against California.
Yes, and when you look at the team that's trying to improve, but both teams are trying to improve. You know, Michigan State needs to improve definitely with their passing game, but also you know, their defense has areas that, you know, they have not got to the passer. You know, they haven't gotten sacks yet. They do a good job against, you know, holding down the run, holding things. But boy, they need to get more pressure on the passer, and that's probably Michigan State's biggest problem on defense, getting to the passer, isn't it?
Haven't gotten home for sacks a whole lot. They have gotten some pressures, and Denico's Allen with a nice sack last week at a key time. You know, the first 3 weeks, especially Boise, and to an extent Notre Dame, they really got rid of the ball quickly. Now, Notre Dame was coming off a game against Purdue in which Notre Dame had given up five sacks, so you'd think Notre Dame's pass protection was iffy, but their pass protection has been pretty good since then, and so that's the part that doesn't compute. Now, Purdue got five sacks against Notre Dame. Michigan State didn't get close to them. You can talk about, you know, Notre Dame got rid of the ball quickly and maybe didn't throw as much. They sprinted them out away, you know, and had them moving pockets and things like that. But, yeah, you know, Will Golston has played well against the run and hosting his gap for the most part and getting some movement on blockers and absorbing blockers and necessitating attention. But he's not really a dip and rip, come off the edge, fly at the quarterback type of guy. So if you're looking for him to be a double-digit sack guy, I don't really know if that's his game. I thought maybe he might evolve into that this year, but it hasn't really happened. Denico's was good last week. Marcus Rush has been just okay, maybe not as slippery as he was at times last year. So throw it all together. The defense is good, strong, sound, good against the run, all that stuff. A couple of coverage got beaten coverage a couple of times. Yeah, that's going to happen. I don't think that's – I think those are isolated incidents. I don't think that's going to happen very often. But, yeah, pass rush is not what Michigan State's doing best right now.
Do you think it was a good move moving Tyler Hoover to the inside? I questioned it from the beginning, and I don't know if I can say it's sort of backing me up, but how do you feel that Tyler Hoover situation is working out?
Yeah, I think it's a good move because, frankly, I think Shalit Calhoun coming up is better than Tyler Hoover at defensive end. Hoover has had some injury problems also, so you know, he's not been available the last game and a half or so. So I don't know if he'll be available this week. Also, Tyler Hoover was just naturally growing out of the position a little bit. I mean, he's a natural 300-pound type guy, and he was trying to cut weight almost to stay at defensive end. He was a good defensive end. He manned his gap. You weren't going to get any movement on his side of the line. But he just kind of grew inside, and they needed help inside. So he's been okay at defensive tackle, serviceable. I think Kittredge last week played better than any defensive tackle for Michigan State has played all year, which was good to see. But Hoover, I don't think, was going to be a difference maker outside anyway, and they needed some help inside. And, I don't think the move hurts them all that much for what they were going to be anyway. What I liked about Hoover, what he did best, in my opinion, when he played defensive end, was against zone read option teams like Michigan or Northwestern. If you ran zone read to his side at defensive end, he was so good at containing the outside, forcing the handoff, and then with his range, could close back in on a running back. He could force the handoff and make the tackle. Not on every single play, but he could do that a handful of times a game. Giving the defense, it's almost like you got 12 guys on the field when you have someone that can do that. I think he was Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week 2 years ago in the Northwestern game. There's horses for courses, and that guy can play the zone read to his side. I think they missed that at defensive end, and this week is the first week all year they'll be seeing some zone reads. So maybe this week, Earl. Maybe this week I'll come to you at halftime and say, man, I'd like to have Hoover at defensive end today.
It might happen, you know. Oh, and then, of course, with Braxton Miller, like you said, he is definitely a very good, read and react quarterback. He's a very good runner, probably a better runner at this point than a passer, but he's also a pretty good passer too, isn't he?
He can throw it a little bit. He's got some arm strength. He can zip it. You know, still a young guy, so the reads and the accuracy gets erratic sometimes, but his feet are electric. I mean, he can dip and dart and accelerate in short areas, and he can turn in some game-breaking plays. I do think that Michigan State's defense matches up well against those type of quarterbacks like Denard Robinson, because Michigan State has good speed, and they're a zone-based team, plays a lot of zone, well-drilled as a zone, accountable zone. So they're operating as 11-man unit really effectively, plus speed, plus physicality. It's been hard over the years for zone read type quarterbacks to get loose with their feet against Michigan State. Usually, gonna have to throw it a little bit.
And, so Michigan State's gotta get some pressure on the inside. Hopefully, continue to do well on the outside and the perimeter of the defense. And of course, they gotta try to contain Braxton Miller some kind of way. Because if he doesn't get you through the air, he can certainly get you on the ground. And Michigan State has done a good job on the ground against running quarterbacks for the most part. But occasionally they can get away. And I think you definitely have to worry about Braxton Miller getting outside of contain and maybe breaking a long one somewhere down the sideline, something like that.
Well, that's what Michigan State specializes in. They specialize in preventing that type of containing you and preventing those type of things from leaking out. You know, every defense can spring a leak from time to time.
Yeah.
So that's always possible. I watched Ohio State, that California game, especially on defense, and a little bit UAB. I've not really dug in and really rewound it like I'll do tonight for the pre-snap read, which we write. I'm not sure. See, Ohio State is thinking they're getting a little more healthy right now at running back, so maybe Miller can get some more help in terms of spreading around the ball carrying duties this weekend. But it's gonna have to be more than Miller. You know, I was hearing what I think it was Trevor Maddich from ESPN, former player, was talking about Ohio State, and in his eyes, it's Braxton Miller on offense and not a lot else. I don't know if I'd go that far. Devin Smith has made some great catches this year, but I do believe it's going to have to be more than Braxton Miller for Ohio State to have a good day on Saturday. That being said, does Michigan State have the capability to have a good day on offense themselves? We know they've got the capability,
yes,
but they're not finishing plays.
Yes, and that's the thing with that. Johnny Adams and DeQuez Denard have played, I would say, inconsistently to this point. They've had some very good games, but boy, also they've let some of the guys get away from them. Is that going to be key to Michigan State's defense? Having them play a good game and not make any mistakes and not let a receiver get away from them?
Yeah, you know, Johnny Adams can look like an All-American 95% of the time, and then, you know, he will give up a play here or there. And, you know, like the throwback freelance play against Notre Dame, which is basically just freelance backyard stuff, and Harlan Barnett was a little frustrated. He's like, well, our scramble rules are, you know, if a quarterback starts to scramble, match up with somebody, and it becomes man-to-man. And Johnny was on the other side of the field, and he just kind of drifted toward the middle a little bit, and Everett Golson saw a guy open on the other side of the field, threw from one side of the numbers to the other, heaved it up there, and, you know, Adams was able to catch back up and get pass interference on it, basically. But if he matches up, Golson is discouraged from even trying that pass. And Adams has the ability to make that play. He just came out of phase a little bit. But, you know, last week there was a touchdown with Eastern Michigan, a perfectly thrown ball on a play action, really sold a route. The receiver did number 17, coming inside like he's going to deliver a crackback block, and then cutting to the seam, very quick route, a 29-yard sudden change, first play of the drive after Michigan State's fumble. Excellent route, excellent play action, perfect pass up high away from Adams so that only the receiver could get it. Receiver went high for a fingertip catch. That's just great. It was excellent football by Eastern Michigan on that one play, and it wasn't just on Adams. Adams was in cover three, so he's expecting help in the middle of that seam from the safety. And Adams, you know, I'm not saying Adams was beat on that play. That was a great play against that coverage. Every coverage has a weakness. It's not like Adams had him in press coverage man-to-man. Michigan State was running a run zone blitz on that play. If that's man-to-man, Adams has inside technique, man-to-man matchup, doesn't allow an inside release, covers him, and the ball doesn't even come out that direction. The touchdown ends up in Adams' area, but it's not like Adams was getting beat one-on-one on that play. It was zone, and he's got to be mindful of his deep third a little bit, not just that one receiver. And Eastern ran a great play on that. Great ball, great catch.
Hey, Jim, is it just a matter for the Michigan State receivers just to catch the ball? Mark's told us they run, the routes are good, the routes are there, but the receivers just have to hold on to the ball. Is it just a simple matter of that, of just holding on to the ball?
That's the way it looks to me. Some of them are open. Some of them are contested. You know, some of those drops against Notre Dame, I think in the stat sheet, some of those will go in as pass breakups. Because Benny Fowler dropped the one in the end zone. But, you know, there was a defensive back with a hand in there. He should have caught it, but it was not an all-alone easy catch. Should have been a touchdown. And if he scores there, that game changes. I think Notre Dame still wins, but the game changes. I think Michigan State would not have had to abandon the run at that point. Le'Veon Bell finishes that game averaging 4.1 yards a carry, rushes for 77 yards, 15 rushes in the first half, but Le'Veon only had 5 rushes in the second half because of that 2-score difference. If Benny Fowler catches a pass, now Le'Veon Bell stays a factor. And you don't know, the way Michigan State likes to run the ball, they think they could just, you know, even if they're only getting 2 yards here, 1 yard there, 3 yards there, they think they're chipping away at the stone. That's the philosophy. And they think at some point that stone's going to break. And sometimes it does. We've seen that happen against Wisconsin and Michigan in past years. And it happened last week against Eastern Michigan, a bad rush defense. But that's the way Michigan State's philosophy is. They never got a chance to work that philosophy of Notre Dame because they had to get out of the run game because they dropped that one pass. The very first possession of the game against Notre Dame is third and medium, and they threw it to Fowler on a slant. Right in his hands, dropped it. It was one of the 8 or 9 drops in that one. But, again, there was a defender in the area with a hand in there. It wasn't completely an easy catch. Last week against Eastern Michigan, Benny Fowler dropped one at the goal line. He said it should have been a catchable ball. Going back and looking at it, you wonder, does he need to get his hands out away from his body sooner to catch it with his hands? That ball got up into his chest. You're not supposed to catch it with your chest. You know
right.
that.
It's for
but,
sure.
But there was a defender that kind of got in there and had his hand, and you can't really see if he kind of barred his arm from getting away from his body. It's hard to say. Maybe it's a technique thing. Maybe he's got to turn with his hands up higher, earlier, to get his hands away from his body on that one. Bottom line is, there were defenders in the area of each of those that I just mentioned. So give the defense a little bit of a credit. But I tell you what, B.J. Cunningham is snatching those balls.
That's for sure. Hey, Jim, I want to thank you for being with me. As you know, always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. You give us a lot of insight on Michigan State football. You know, we'll have you on again during the year. Talk more Michigan State football with us, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Earl. People can check out Spartan Magazine, SpartanMag.com.
Okay, thanks, Jim. We'll talk to you later. Okay, bye-bye. And that's Jim Comperoni. Like he says, check him out on SpartanMag.com. The time now, 23 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
In China, a political murder mystery winds down. The Communist Party leader-to-be vanishes for a couple of weeks, and the face-off with Japan over uninhabited islands in the East China Sea. I'm Neil Conan, China in Transition. Rob Gifford will join us. Plus, the parent trigger. What really happened when parents mobilized to take over a failing school? Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that was Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl. Thank you for joining us today. Our high 65 degrees and mostly sunny today. Overnight, look for a low down to 38 and partly cloudy skies. Mostly sunny and a high tomorrow in the upper 60s. Partly sunny on Saturday, maybe some afternoon rain, the high in the upper 60s.
And if you want a chance to win tickets to the MSU Ohio State game, you can call and register for your chance to win tickets. The new number to call is area code 517-884-4870. That's 517-884-4870 for your chance to win tickets to the Michigan State Ohio State football game. Once again, 884-4870, and give that number a call. You can give us a call right here if you want to talk sports with us at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And we'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. And next up, we'll be having Graham Couch, the Lansing State Journal columnist, and we'll talk with Graham about the game coming up on Saturday between Michigan State and Ohio State as well. We'll chat with Graham Couch about that game. Once again, give us a call either to try to win some tickets, and we'll give the tickets away near the end of today's show right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we're also Like we say, we're going to try chat with Graham College for a while, and then we'll talk a little bit of swimming with Michigan State's swim coach, Matt Giannotis, and we'll do that as well. But first up, we're going to chat with Graham, and then we'll talk with the swim coach right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, it's to spread the word around, tell everyone you know, you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR East Lansing. So we've got to recheck here to give a chance to talk with Graham coming up shortly, and we've got a big swim meet for those of you who like swimming coming up tomorrow night against Wisconsin. A big swim meet, outdoor swim meet actually, and we'll do that, and we'll talk with the head coach about the swim meet coming up against Wisconsin, and that's coming up tomorrow night here in at Michigan State. So just give us a call, talk sports with us, or check out what's going on. We got to check with Graham Couch, who is the new columnist. We had Graham on once before, but having him on one more time. We might have a different number for Graham, because I don't know if he's changed his number or not. I know he was thinking about getting one changed. I don't think he might not have had it changed yet, but we'll chat with him. Hopefully, talk with him about what's going to happen on Saturday with Michigan State. It should be a heck of a game, Michigan State and Ohio State. Michigan State and Ohio State has had some very good games in the past years, and this one should be no exception. They've all been good, pretty closely contested, that's for sure. No one has really had a runaway in this game. Last year, 10-7 was the score, and we've had some close games with Ohio State in the past year. So, and we definitely think this one will be just like all the other ones that they've had in the past. Looking at it from them and looking at them, and it should be another very close game. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, spread the word around. We need you to tell everyone you know, all your friends, neighbors, even tell your enemies. You can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR in East Lansing. And that's what we want you to do. Tell everyone you know that you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR. We want you to spread the word around. Tell everyone that, hey, you can enjoy sports in the afternoon. You know, some places you can hear sports all day long. Here we've got the 1 hour week you can hear it for us from you. So just give us a call. Talk sports with us. Listen every day. Just a 1 hour between 1:05 and 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. And call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. And, of course, we love hearing from you. We love chatting with you. You know, and people outside when I'm talking to them. And I'll see a lot of you, a lot of folks tomorrow night, a lot of our good listeners, because I'll be at the East Lansing Every game tomorrow night. That should be a heck of a high school football game. And we'll do that and hear from them, from that game. That should be a heck of a game between East Lansing and Lansing Everett, two of the best teams in the mid-Michigan area. And you talk about two teams that are quick. Both teams have a lot of speed, a lot of speed. Everett has a lot of speed. They're not really big, are large per se, but boy, they've got a lot of speed overall on their team. And many of the guys play both ways. So, you know, that's way, and for both teams, East Lansing has a lot of guys playing both ways. Lansing Everett has a lot of guys playing both ways. But they're both two very good teams with a lot of speed, that's for sure. So give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. When I look at that game between Michigan State and Ohio State, as I asked Jim, I said, the receivers, they just got to catch the ball. That's, people have asked me during the week, say, what do they do to fix this receiver problem? Well, in all honesty, there's not much you can do. I mean, you can tell people to hold on and catch the ball. That's what they have to do. You can't make them do it. You know, they want to catch the ball. That's for sure. Nobody wants to drop the ball on purpose or intentionally, but that's what happens. Sometimes guys just drop the ball. and that happens in sports. So, you know, but there's no rhyme or reason. There's nothing magical about it. You just have to hope that guys hold on to the ball and catch the ball. I mean, I've never heard of a receiver wanting to intentionally drop a pass or anything like that. They all want to catch the ball. They all want to try to get in the end zone and score. And of course, they want to make themselves look better for next year if they get and if they're going to the NFL, they want to look better for the draft. So, you know, there are a lot of reasons why you want to catch the ball and do well. And, you know, every receiver who's playing the game, they want to show people that they can catch the football. They don't want to drop the football intentionally on purpose. They want to show you that I've got good hands and I can catch the ball. Now, I can tell you some of the reasons why they probably are missing the ball. Sometimes guys get a little nervous. At the beginning of the game, they'll get a little nervous. They'll have some butterflies inside. Sometimes guys will be a little intimidated by the other team and by the other guys. There is some intimidation factor. Now, of course, nobody wants to admit that they're intimidated, and they hardly will tell you that, you know, that I was intimidated, or you know, that like the red jerseys. Red uniforms of Ohio State, that might get them to be a little bit testy in some guys. And some guys, they're not going to tell you that they're being intimidated, that they're sorry about how the other team. No one will tell you that, because you know you can't hear what's going on and feel what's going on inside of another person. You know, only they can tell that. Only they can tell you that, hey, I'm nervous for this game. Or that maybe this guy is a little bit too big or maybe a little bit too physical for me. But they're not going to tell you that, you know, before the game or during the game. You know, they're just going to go out there and play. And so hopefully they'll just play at their best. But there are a lot of reasons why guys don't do well or drop a ball or just do things like that. You know, Jim and I were just talking about, you know, how guys, you know, they want to do their best. I don't know a player that doesn't want to do the best to help their team win. Sometimes they do, and sometimes they just have a bad day. And sometimes you do have to write it off to that. Sometimes, you know, you just have a bad day in a game. You can practice well all week long, do a good job in practice, and then when it comes game time, you know, it just doesn't work for you. It just will happen that everything just won't come up roses for you. So those are just some of the things that will happen to a ball player in a ball game. Just like in basketball, you know, some guys just can't shoot that night. Sometime in basketball, you know, the guys, he can be the greatest shooter in the world. But there's always going to be that game or a couple of games where he can't hit the broad side of a barn. And that just happens where a guy just doesn't shoot well. He can have the short shot, short point blank shot. And then you'll say, why did he miss it? Why did he miss it? Well, hey, it was just one of those things. It came off his hand wrong. You know, it went the wrong way. It rolled off the back of the rim. I've seen shots roll around the rim and just roll off. It's just one of those things. You know, we can't make every shot. We can't catch every ball. That's just part of the game. One of the reasons why we love sports so much and we're fascinated by it, because, you know, if every player could make a catch and catch a ball, you know, they'd all be in the NFL, be getting paid. But that's not the way it works. You can see guys in practice, they won't drop a pass in practice. But come game time, once they get hit upside the head or knocked around or something like that, then they become a little nervous. They can't their hands, they just can't seem to hold on to the ball. There are things like that. So there are so many reasons why, why people mess up during a game, you know, whether it's catching a ball or running a ball or just trying to run a right route or just run a good carry and get a good carry and get a good run for you. So there are a lot of things that happen. Why? A lot of times you won't know exactly why they did what they did, or you know, or why they messed up or made a mistake. Some people do make mistakes. And that's just part of the game. People, that's what I have to try to explain that to my friends sometime. But they don't seem to get it. They just think that a lot of these guys, they should make plays. They should make plays. They're in a position to make plays. And yet, of course, as you know, so many of you think that it's always a coach's fault. If a guy doesn't make a play, it's the coach's fault. So that happens. You know, if you want to blame the coach for everything, you can go. You can do that. But I'll tell you this: I've never seen a coach make a play, catch a ball, or fumble a ball, or fumble a pass. But I know a lot of you want to blame the coach for everything that goes wrong, and maybe you know they make. Sometimes coaches can make when they look at the game game plan where they're trying to make a game plan, you know, they'll mess up some of the plays that they call, or whether it's offensive play or a defensive play. The schemes, sometimes the schemes won't work. It's just not a good scheme to run, and that happens sometimes. But that's all part of the game. That's why we like the game. There's so many different aspects to a game, whether it's football or basketball, and you know, whether it's hockey too. There's a lot of different aspects of all the big games. You know, sometimes, you know, like they say, sometimes things work out well and sometimes they don't work out well. But there's one thing that we can say for all sports, there's one thing that works in every sport, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, hockey, or whatever sport you want to look at, speed kills. Speed is the number one factor. If you got enough fast players, and especially fast players that can play that sport, you're in pretty good shape. You have a chance to win a lot of games when you have fast guys, a lot of fast guys. And when you see guys that have exceptional skill, and that's it, there aren't many guys who are exceptionally skilled, but just, you know, they don't have the proper form, the proper things to get the job done. But if they're exceptionally fast and they've got those skills, that skill set, man, they've got a lot. You can make a lot of money at the pro level. I know a lot of people want kids to stay and work for their institution and make money for their institution, but you know, they're trying like everybody else, trying to get to a point where they can get a good payday and make some money for themselves, for their family and such. You know, yes, if they can make money and do things for the school, it's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of times they're trying to put themselves in a position to make money as a pro. Oh, the time right now is 39 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk, and we're going to bring our good friend Alex in, and we're going to take a little break here on AM 870 WKAR. So let's bring in Alex. Is really on the phones right now. He's a lot of people calling in trying to register for those tickets, because we'll give the tickets away at the end of today's show. The new number to call is area code 517-884-4870. So, Alex, it's time for us to take a little break. You're listening to radio station WKAR in East Lansing. Time for a short break right here on AM 870.
There's less meat and pizza on many lunch trays this year, more fresh fruits and vegetables. But as school lunches get healthier and lighter under new guidelines, some students complain, "We're hungry." I'm Neil Conan. What's changed in the school cafeteria? And are the kids really hungry or just leaving their peas on the plate? Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Mostly sunny and a high of 65 degrees today. Partly cloudy tonight. Look for a low of 38. Tomorrow, our high will be 68 degrees with mostly sunny skies. And partly sunny with a chance of afternoon rain on Saturday. The high 69. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now we hope to make contact with the swimming coach here at Michigan State University and talk with him and Matt Giannotis and talk about the Michigan State swim meet. And that's tomorrow at here in Michigan State. They're going against Wisconsin. That should be a tough meet. Swim meets are, I know a lot of you don't go to a lot of swim meets. So some of you do. And so we want to give you that and tell you some of the swim meets and some of the things. Well, let's bring in the coach, Matt Giannotis, Michigan State swim coach. Matt, how you doing?
Great, Earl. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, glad to have you on. And tell us a little bit about the meet with Wisconsin. What do you expect tomorrow?
Well, first thing that we did expect or we were hoping for was good weather, so I mm-hmm. think we're going to have that. But it's very early in the season for us. I'm sure most of your listeners don't follow or know college swimming. Our championship is actually at the end of February, so it's really a long season. And this was something that we put together with Wisconsin early on. They wanted to come down to Michigan, kind of get some racing in early, and we said, hey, what the heck, we'll do it outside, because when we're outside, it's just there's just so much more access for people to come over and see than when we have our meets, which we traditionally do indoors. So it's more of a, well, I don't want to say it's a fun thing because we are scoring it. It does go on our record. If we win, you know, we get a win. If we don't, we lose. But we're just looking for some good racing and get some things going on early on in the season.
Yes. Now, will all the races, will the like you do in the Big Ten, will they be the same or are they different levels?
It's a different course, so the Big Ten is actually contested in a 25-yard pool, and then this would be done more of the Olympics. When people who watch the Olympics on NBC this summer, this is more of an Olympic. It's an Olympic course, so it's 50 meters long. So none of the times are reportable to the NC2A. This is what you would more call an exhibition, kind of like more of an exhibition type thing, but it does count on our record, though.
Yes. Now, do you count the diving scores as well? How will they do in diving?
Yeah, we're diving indoors. We're a little concerned about the wind and the sun. Our kids have not practiced outside, you know, since school has started. Now, our swimmers practice outside every day, but our divers don't. So the diving will be going on inside, and that'll count in the dual meet. You count the diving scores in there with the swimming scores, yes.
So this should be a very toughly, a very highly contested matchup. How good is the Wisconsin team?
The women are probably a little bit better than their men because we'll have men and women tomorrow because we coach them both here at Michigan State and they coach them both up there at Wisconsin. That's both combined programs. They did have a young man. They had a young man this summer finish fifth in his event at the U.S. Olympic Trials. We had a guy finish 12th. So we're fairly even on that side. The women are probably, at least on paper, a little bit better than we are, but we'll see tomorrow. They're pretty good, though. The women's team is usually ranked in the top 25, and they have a pretty good squad.
Well, what about the men? How good would you say both the men teams are?
Well, we're both pretty even. At this point, if I had a vote, which I don't, and the coaches poll for swimming, and it wouldn't be vote. We don't vote till mid-October anyway. I'd put both us and Wisconsin right on the edge of being a top 25 team. So it should be a pretty even matchup tomorrow. It should be pretty exciting.
Yes, and hopefully we'll get a lot of people will come out over in that'll be out the outdoor pool over here at Michigan State University, and some outdoors and some in. So how will you do that? You're going to have some matches outdoors and some indoors?
Well, most of them are indoors because our mm-hmm. season is in the wintertime, so it would be tough in Michigan to run meets outside, you know, in January. But every once in a while, last year we did it in early October. This year we're doing it in late September. This year we're putting kind of more of a push on because it is a football weekend, and we figure people will be in town for it. Last year we did it on a football bye weekend, and so we didn't have as big a crowd as we wanted to. So by attracting a Big Ten team with some name and by doing it on a football weekend, we were hoping for more. But traditionally what we do is we contest our meets in the IM West indoor pool, which is the IM West, as you know, is right next to the football stadium, between the football stadium and Dem Hall, and then right by Jennison Fieldhouse there.
Now, of course, you know, Wisconsin has the red and white colors like Ohio State does. I mean, that doesn't go on when you're trying to set up a meet, does it? The colors that another team wears, that you might pick a team just because of what they wear, the colors that they have?
Well, I think when they walk to the pool and they're wearing red, I think they might get some kind of gas from the fan on campus. So in swimming, we don't pay attention necessarily to colors in swimming, but as they're walking into the pool, I think they might get some kind of gas from the Michigan State fans.
I think they would.
You know, sometimes swimmers are big enough, at least the boys are, they can be mistaken for maybe wide receivers or quarterbacks or something. So they might be getting some kind of heat, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Now, what about the speed factor? Do we have anybody that some guys will contest some of the Big Ten records? Nothing probably national or anything like that. Do we have some people you can tell us about who might see compete or get close to a Big Ten record or an NCAA record?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We have a young man on the team. He's a senior right now. He's actually originally from Jacksonville, Illinois. He was a Big Ten Freshman of the Year in 2009 and 2010. He finished 12th in his event, and he actually, same event as Michael Phelps, the 100-meter butterfly. So he really did a nice job this summer, and I think he really, in all honesty, I hate to predict, but he's got a good chance maybe of being an NCAA champion this year. At least in the top, I think he can finish at the NCAA championships in the top five in his event. So he's really good, and then we have a couple of boys who went to Olympic trials this summer with Jake Jarzan. His name is Jake Jarzan. We have a couple of boys, Brian Williams, who's actually from Avondale, Michigan, and then a kid named Pat Falconer, who's from Chicago in the Illinois area, and they both went to Olympic trials too. And on the women's side, we have a young lady named Jenny Rush, who's a senior. She's from Grosse Pointe, and Lauren Bazin, who's actually from Cincinnati, Ohio. They both went to the Olympic trials too. So we got some good swimmers. I mean, we'll do what we can tomorrow and see how it all pans out. But we do have a nice group.
Hey, Matt, now, how much does a person have to practice, whether it's men or women, if they want to get to that level, get to the Olympic level, how much more do they have to do as far as what they do in college to even get better to be an Olympic swimmer?
Well, as you know, we're restricted to 20 hours a week, and that's the NCAA rules. But our kids train within the entire time, 20 hours, about 20 hours a week. Our kids do doubles and then weightlift on top of it four times a week. So we had practice this morning that started at 6:15. They'll get their practice and go to class, and we have another practice this afternoon that starts at 3:30, and that'll end around 6. So you got to train really hard, and you got to train really hard. And sometimes in Michigan State, it's a little tough because a lot of our training is done outdoors. And once it starts getting really frosty outside in the morning, we're still in the outdoor pool, which is heated to 83 degrees, but still it's a little chilly out there.
Yes, that's a lovely pool. You know, I look at it, I don't get into swimming, but that's a lovely pool. And hey, we got a caller on the line. Someone's calling us from Fort Wayne. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh,
hi.
Remember we had a conversation a couple weeks about the NFL referees?
Yeah, and it's been settled.
Yeah, I know it, but I'm just saying. Remember when I told you it was going to have to take some disaster for
it
to happen?
Yeah, it would. It did.
Sir, it's just like University of Michigan, all these colleges and high schools. They'll stab anybody in the back for a nickel or a dime.
Well, okay, we got to go. We're talking swimming right now.
Oh. Okay, you're not talking football. Okay.
Okay. Talk to you later. And of course, yes. And Matt, that's the thing. Everybody wants to win and such like that in all sports, as we know. And the sport like swimming, it's very competitive, and the people want to get out there and win, men and women. And you know, it's how would you say, how tough is it in that sport to win? I mean, it's a sport where, you know, most people are, if they got a college scholarship, they got to be pretty good.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the one thing, of course, it's very similar, not necessarily towards football, but it's very similar to basketball. It's a very international appeal now, too.
Yes.
So there's a lot of international kids at the NCAAs. The NCAAs, I think on the women's side, is about 30% international, and on the men's side, it's closer to 50% because there's such an appeal. And, of course, swimming in different countries outside the U.S., some of the kids, it's a popular deal. Like in Australia, it's a national sport, and if you go to different places, it's much more popular, like track and field would be. And, of course, if you go to the NCAAs in track and field, there's a lot of international kids in track and field at the NCAA level, too. So it's difficult. It's hard. Sometimes it's a little strange trying to find kids to come to Michigan State and swim here, but I think we do a pretty good job, though.
Hey, Matt, before I let you go, what's the difference between people when they swim and train outdoors as it goes if you swim and train indoors all the time? What's the difference?
There's not that much difference. There's some things like, I know, like, if you swim backstroke, it's hard sometimes because if you're staring at a ceiling, it's easier to go straight than if you're staring at the sky. But there is somewhat of an adjustment period when we do move indoors to the meets, but it's really not that much different. Diving is a huge, it's hugely different because the environment is much much more difficult outdoors. There's a lot more factors that go into it when you factor in wind and then reflection of the pool with the sunlight and everything. So, but for swimming, it's really not that much of a difference. So,
okay. Hey, Matt, I want to thank you for joining me. It's been a pleasure to have you talking swimming. I haven't done that in a long time, so it's good to have you and talk sports, and we'll try to get you back on again sometime.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Joel. Anytime, and I appreciate all the support. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you. Okay, bye-bye. And that's Matt Giannotis, the swim coach here at Michigan State University, as they get ready for the swim meet coming up tomorrow against Wisconsin. So go over there and check out the swim meet. That's going to be a very good, very highly contested meet between Michigan State and Wisconsin. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Got to tell you that we're going to be giving the tickets away coming up real soon. I know you've been, I saw you've been doing a lot of writing over there, Alex.
A lot of callers today for good reason.
A lot of callers, yes, for a big game. Everybody wants to win tickets to that game, understandably so. Michigan State and Ohio State, that's going to be a good game. You and I will be at the game on Saturday for sure. So, you know, that's going to be a good game. And so I know you've been asking me, so let me ask you, what do you think is going to happen on Saturday?
You know what, Earl? I'm going to do what you do, and I'm going to wait to give you my pick till tomorrow.
Oh, you ain't going to go now.
I'm going to hold out on
you're
you.
You're going to hold out on me, huh? Okay. All right. Well, then why don't you get ready and pick the winner of the tickets? Let's get out of that.
All right. After 31 callers, The winner of the tickets is Patrick Brogan from East Lansing. Congratulations, Patrick.
Hey, Patrick, congratulations. You are the ticket winner. And Alex will be calling you up shortly to tell you where and when, where you can pick the tickets up at here at WKAR. So thank you. Congratulations for winning the tickets. And see, it didn't even take long to do that, and Patrick got the tickets, and, you know, I know everybody else out there, oh, shoot, why couldn't it have been me? Well, hey, maybe the next time. Maybe it worked for you next time. Didn't work for you this time, but maybe the next time that you win those tickets that we'll have to give away here on AM 870 WKAR. And what, the next time the tickets we'll have to give away will be for the Iowa game. And that's going to be homecoming on October 10th. And so that should be a good homecoming game, Michigan State and Iowa. And that, now you talk about a rivalry. That's right. I mean, we've had some very good games against Iowa in the past. Some very good games over the years against Iowa. Then we got a couple of games, and then we've got the Nebraska game coming up November 3rd, and that's going to be the next to the last home game, and then our last home game will be against Northwestern. So those two will be the last two games you can see in Spartan Stadium, Nebraska and Northwestern. Both those games should be a very good game. We have a lot of good games, too, as you know, Alex, against Northwestern when we play them. That's been been a very entertaining game. Now, for the most part, either we won big against Nebraska or either we've lost big against Nebraska. But Northwestern, we've had highly contested games against them many times in years past. So that should be a good game. But, boy, I'll tell you, that Nebraska game, it'll probably go one way or the other. Nebraska is a lot better this year than what a lot of people thought they were going to be. And that's down to the 9th or 10th game of the season. So we'll know pretty much what they're going to get when they hold up against Nebraska. Taylor Martinez, he's become a very good quarterback. He wasn't that great last year or the year before, but he's become a very good quarterback. Taylor Martinez for Nebraska, he's going to be tough to deal with. We'll have to see that. So I'll wait for your prediction when we have
All right.
Drew and Jack on Friday.
Fair enough.
You know, we'll post you up then and see what you say and have to tell us. Hey, you can give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And, of course, spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870. Now, Michigan State President Luana K. Simon will be the guest of speaker at the Downtown Coaches Club on Friday. That's tomorrow, Eagle Eye Golf Center in Bath. In addition, a member of the Michigan State football coaching staff will talk about the Eastern Michigan win and this week's game against Big Ten opener against Ohio State. Two Spartan football players also will be in attendance. The doors will open at 10:30 a.m., and the program will start at 11:45. And if you want club membership, will be available at the luncheon. Additional information on the club is available at www.dtncoaches.org. That's www.dtncoaches.org for more information about the Downtown Coaches Club luncheon coming up on Friday here at Michigan State University out in Bath Township, and that'll be at the Eagle Eye Golf Center in Bath. So you can, if you want to get you go to the luncheon, those are some very good luncheons, and I think you have a very good time if you get to go there and check out the luncheon. That's at the Eagle Eye Golf Center, and so do that right coming up tomorrow if you want to go meet a couple of players, meet some of the we don't know which coaches will be there, but someone will be there from the coaching staff to tell you about the game, that Ohio State game. That should be a very good game. I'm not really changing. I guess you could say I'm sort of changing my pick. I know now what I'm going to pick. Earlier in the week, I jumped on the Ohio State bandwagon. I can tell you not right now. I tell you I'm probably going to jump off that Ohio State bandwagon. I'll give it for sure tomorrow, but it's going to be a good game. I'm still thinking about Ohio State, but not as much as I was at the beginning of the week. I was for sure about them, and I'm not for sure about them anymore. Jim helped me out a lot with that. Jack has told me some things about them, so I'm going to be a little bit shaky. I can't say I'm going all out for Ohio State tomorrow, so I might have to let everyone know I'm probably going to pick Michigan State. If I do, it's going to be a close game. But if I pick Ohio State, it's going to be a close game as well. I don't think this is going to be a game that either team is going to run away with. So, I mean, Michigan State's a one-point favorite if you want to follow those favorites and like that. But it's going to be a very closely contested game. And so I think, you know, you can I can't be mad at you no matter what you pick. if you decide to go with Ohio State, you know, that's a good pick. If you decide to go with Michigan State, that's a good pick. So, you know, you can't go wrong when you're picking a game like that. It's going to be a good game for sure. We've got both teams, two teams that are very highly competitive. Of course, Ohio State is not eligible for a bowl game this year. So that's one thing that might give Michigan State a little bit of a hedge, because they won't be able to play for a bowl game. And then, like we said, like Jim Confroni said, you know, he brings the spread in to the Big Ten. It doesn't have the impact that it would have had if he had brought it in 10 years ago when he brought the spread. Nobody could, if you were here 10 years ago, you would have thought, what, these coaches don't have a clue. They didn't know how to stop the spread. 10 years ago, nobody could stop the spread. The spread was a newfangled offense, and everybody had trouble with it. But as always, defenses always catch up to offenses. That's for sure. And defenses will always catch up, and that does it. And they can't catch. They caught up with the spread offense over time. You know, and they made it. The spread became very difficult. Once players learned how to defend it and how to tackle in space, they made it very difficult for the spread to work in the Big Ten. So remember, when it first started, the spread was both teams were like a sieve. I mean, they could run through their defense and everything else. But once the defense got the hang of it, got the hang of the spread, they made it very difficult for teams to move the ball. And that's what they did eventually. And, you know, and that's what you'll see, you know, tomorrow or Saturday. You know, yes, his teams run the spread. When you have a quarterback like a Tim Tebow, you know, it's very difficult for you to run run and stop a Tim Tebow. But you don't have a lot of Tim Tebows. But he's got a good quarterback in Braxton Miller. He's a very good quarterback. And when you got a quarterback that's hard to stop, and it's also really a good passer, it's going to be very tough. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening today. Thank you all for calling in. And we invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, you've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So if once again, remember to give us a call tomorrow. Talk Sports with us. We'll have Drew Sharp and Jack Ebling with us tomorrow. Talk Sports with you right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
From NPR News.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.